the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler, and you know, there's nothing like increased volatility and a severe drop in stocks to refocus investors on risk. We've had three corrections since the January peak, and so risk, once again, is on the minds of investors. What we're going to do today is examine a new survey which has just been published. It talks about the attitudes of retirees and retirees within 15 years of retirement, and how investors are thinking and the differences between the two different groups, and ultimately why, given the environment in which we find ourselves, you may want to rethink risk. And probably, Jim, number one is give up your gambling habit. How's that for getting rid of risk?
Stop going to the casinos.
Yeah. So anyway.
Or stop buying Bitcoin, whatever the two. But
all right.
On a serious note, just to give you a little background on the survey, because this was somewhat different than all the surveys we've discussed here about planning for retirement. When should you do it? What should you do? How many people do it? How many people have saved? What are they doing with their pension plans, etc.? What this survey did, it was done by one of the large insurance companies. They were MassMutual. And the background for this survey is they wanted to take a look at people that were 15 years away from retirement and people that were retired. What was their view on risk? And of course, insurance companies are normally invested on the conservative side. They do annuities, they do insurance, and so they're more into retirement planning, but more from a conservative perspective. And so what they wanted to do is take a look at, is there a difference between somebody that's 10, 15 years away from retirement versus somebody that's retired, just retiring, or have been retired for a long period of time? Now, it was a rather extensive survey. They surveyed 804 pre-retirees, and these were people 10, 15 years away from retirement, 801 retirees, and some of the requirements, you must be 40 years of age, you must have an income of over $40,000 a year. Also, you are participating in some form of a pension program, 401k, 403b, 457, whatever it is, but you are contributing to a pension plan. And you must have at least $100,000 of assets. Obviously, you don't have any assets. You're not worried about risk because you're not risking anything other than your own retirement. So the survey was done in late January of this year, so it's current in terms of reflecting investors' moods towards the market and their mood towards the risk. Now, the survey was released, it was done January 18th. And so remember what was leading up to this from the election of November 8th, 2016, all the way to January 26th of this year, the market was going up like an escalator with no more than a 2% correction. It didn't matter what was happening in the Middle East, what was happening with Korea. Terrorist attacks didn't matter. There just wasn't a correction. And of course, as you're well aware, that all changed after January 26th of this year. We've had three corrective actions in the market, including the current one. So it is rather interesting because here was an organization that was saying, how do you view risk? Now that we're, 9 years into a bull market and maybe coming towards the end of one.
Now, from listener emails here, we've been able to observe a noticeable difference in attitudes towards risk during the last 2 years, during the upswing without a correction, versus a radical contrast from what we saw back in, we had the crash in 2007, we had the pig crisis in 2009, taper in 2015 and 2016, where the market went through a series of precipitous falls. If you contrast those, what does that show?
Well, this is interesting because once again, it was taken in January before the correction that began January 26th, where in 6 days, the markets lost 12%. So they categorize it into two groups, pre-retirees and retirees. Now, here you're going to find some really differences in terms of how people view risk. 6 out of 10 pre-retirees said that they were positioning their portfolios for growth. In other words, they were taking more risk. In contrast, only 5 out of 10 retirees said that, hey, you know, we're a little bit more concerned about preservation and growth. So there was a balance between capital preservation and growth. So there was a distinct difference between somebody that was 10, 15 years away from retirement and then somebody that's retired, which is what you would expect when you're working, you're making your money, you're at, let's say, the peak end of your working career in terms of salary and income. The kids have grown up, they put them through college so you can save. This is the time you're going to want to build your portfolio. So nothing that really stands out there. However, pre-retirees, clearly from different survey questions, I mean, there were over 100 questions. We're not going to go over them now. We'll sum them up. But pre-retirees were more comfortable taking on greater risk, which is what you would expect if you were, you know, a decade or more away from retirement. They also say, and here's the interesting one, and this probably reflects the mood of what we've seen in the market leading up to the period before we saw that correction begin this year. They say they can focus on the long term on their investments despite even big market drops. So they're saying, hey, we know that, you know, we've had bear markets, but we know the stock market always comes back and always goes higher. Well, it didn't do that, folks, believe it or not, for 13 years between the year 2000 and April of 2013. But right now, investors are feeling very optimistic and they're saying, hey, even though we might go through a bear market, you know, we're focused on the long term because we're 10, 15 years away from retirement. Guarantee you that will change. Another one. There was a caveat, and here's the kind of, well, okay, I can handle a bear market, but here's the caveat. They said they did express concern about going through a major downturn right before they retired. I mean, just think, folks, of you retired in January of 2008 and you had a certain amount of assets when you retired in your 401k program. And all of a sudden you went through that bear market from the end of 2007 to March of 2009 when the market lost a significant and suffered a significant loss. So there was that caveat. Well, maybe, you know, if I was about a year away from retirement, wouldn't want to go through one of those. So that was interesting because they said, hey, we're in this for the long run. We can handle a bear market. Oh, by the way, a serious one right before I retire. May want to rethink that one.
All right. Any other aspects of the study that stand out?
Well, when they take a look at the glide path towards retirement and the influence advisors, this one I found rather fascinating. Both groups said they wanted their assets to continue to grow after they retire. I think this reflects something that we've been talking here on the program, that when people retire at age 65, you can expect 25 to 30 years in retirement between both spouses, and there's a 50% chance that one of you will live to be age 90 and more. So people know if you're living longer, and you may spend 25, 30 years of retirement, you know the cost that you're spending money on today, it's going to cost you more 10, 20, or maybe 30 years from now. Not to mention the fact that many of you might have seen in your own families, either parents or relatives who ended up in a retirement home and the mounting cost of actually having to pay those kind of expenses. So there were several other things that really stood out too. Interesting result was that retirees were more likely to say they were not going to be more conservative as they are retired currently with their investments compared to pre-retirees. A lot of the pre-retirees said, we're sort of invested for growth now. We're more aggressive in what we're doing. But when we retire, we plan on getting more conservative. So those that are not retired are saying they want to become conservative when they retire with their investments versus those who are currently retired, they're saying, hey, we're not going to be more conservative. So I thought that one kind of stood out. In fact, 43% of pre-retirees expect to be primarily focused on capital preservation at retirement compared to only 23% of retirees. And I think there's an explanation for that we'll get into later on as we kind of summarize the results of this survey. The other surprise was that both groups, when they were having discussions with their advisors, and this is something I can attest to, that their advisors were most often suggesting that they invest more conservatively than they were currently invested. And that was a surprisingly 88% response when you added up both groups. So here was a situation where retirees were saying, hey, we're not going to change the way we're invested. We want to have more growth. We're going to be a little bit more aggressive in our investments, in contrast to the advice that they were getting from their advisors, who were saying, hey, you may want to tone down the risk level, given the fact that you're retired and you can't go through another major bear market. And given investors' desire for continued growth, this, in my estimation, suggests a disconnect between retirees' risk tolerance and their advisors' guidance. And this is a common divergence that we constantly see, John, in our own practice. We use a very, very sophisticated software program for risk assessment. And what this program does is it goes in and analyzes the risk categories of your portfolio, whether you have an ETF, a mutual fund, stocks, whatever it is that you have in your portfolio. It knows the risk characteristics of those particular investments. And I'm talking about specifically names of mutual funds and the categories that they belong to. And then what this program does, it assesses the risk and assigns a risk category from 1 to 10, with 10 being the riskiest and 1 being the least riskiest. So invariably, what we have seen is there is a disconnect between the two. And I think a lot of this has to do with individuals, and maybe you can relate to this if you're listening to this broadcast. You go to work for a company, you know, let's say you're in your early 40s, you set up your allocation to your 401k program, 403b, or wherever your retirement program is. You have X amount in stocks, emerging markets, whatever you've done in your allocation. And you sort of just leave it there. It's on automatic pilot. Every single paycheck, the money goes into the fund. You pretty much leave it there. And a lot of individuals were caught off guard in the 2007, 2009 downturn. They kind of stayed the course. They were in there. And then, of course, within 4 or 5 years, they saw the markets coming back every single year. So there's a tendency out of habit to leave things the way they are. And one of the characteristics we have also found, well, a lot of our clients, especially our pre-retirement clients, they tend to have vast amounts of money in 401k programs that they seldom monitor, seldom change, or seldom take and adjust the risk category as they get older. In other words, how they were invested at 40 should be a lot different the way they were invested at 50, 55, or even 60. So the folly here that we see is, in bull markets, we all look like stock market geniuses. The markets rise and a rising tide carries all boats. And so everybody thinks of themselves as very knowledgeable and astute about the markets, which was a characteristic that came out in this survey, is that a lot of these investors, even though they were highly risk-oriented, considered themselves very knowledgeable. And I think that's because in a long bull market, when every year the stock market is going up, and especially what we've seen since Trump's election, where up until January this year, it was just an escalator ride with the markets going up every single month. And of course, we know that changes after bear markets, and especially heavy investment losses.
You know, we really did pick up on a lot of this from our listeners on the weekend show. We used to have a queue line where people would call in comments, and you could hear the difference, and you could hear the change, because we had the financial crisis, the big one, you know, back in 2007, 2008, the pig crisis. We did have the tapering, and finally the Chinese scare in 2016, where things got really erratic.
Yeah, and that's, you know, nothing to give one confidence when the stock market goes up every single month like it did for almost a year and a half. And that's sort of this sentiment, which is what you get towards the end of a bull market when people get more bullish, the unemployment rate's down, the market's going up, people's homes are going up in value, consumer confidence is up, and there's this general feeling of well-being, which would play into consumer confidence and investor confidence. And that was certainly reflected in this survey.
If we look at both of these groups, that those who are right on the verge of retirement, those within 15 years of retirement, is there anything definitive that you would say jumped out of this study contrasting between the two groups?
I would say there was probably some commonalities between both groups, pre-retirees and retirees. The one thing that stood out in conclusions, or what they called lessons learned from the past, all of them said they wish they would have started saving for retirement earlier than they did. In other words, the retirement years crept on them rather fast, especially after the kids grow up and all of a sudden you're age 55 or maybe even 58 or 60 and you're saying, oh my God, I'm only 6 years away from retirement or 7 years. I really need to step it up on the savings. So wish they started saving earlier was one thing. Most of them, this was surprising. Most said that they would stay with the same investment approach if they had to do a do-over. In other words, they said, we wouldn't do anything differently in the way we invest before retirement. And a third of the respondents on both sides said, in fact, if we had to redo it over again, we would go back and even be more aggressive with our investments, which is, I suppose, what you would expect people to see after the market has gone up for 9 years in a bull market. Looking backwards, you might have said, gosh, I wish I would have had more money in stocks than I did, given what the market's done over the last 9 years. So that was one that, once again, reflecting a bull market towards the end of a bull market, when people tend to look back and say, gosh, I wish I would have put more money in stocks or got in the market sooner after the Great Recession. And the other thing which was picked up in the survey, and you can see this, is the willingness to even take extraordinary risk. And you've seen this with investors investing in Bitcoin, where last year, what did Bitcoin go from $1,000 to $19,000? And also the FANG stocks were the evaluations. I don't care if you're looking at Netflix, if you're looking at Amazon, you're looking at Google, any of the FANG stocks in terms of market valuations are somewhat crazy. And now you're seeing what happens as these stocks sell off sharply. There have been some of those FANG stocks are already experiencing 20% corrections. And another thing that they said is another bit of advice. They all recommended that pre-retirees use a financial advisor and know your own risk tolerance. At the end of a bull market, when stocks are going up, you might say, you know what? I can be more aggressive in my investments. I can handle that. Well, sure, you can handle it when you've seen stocks go up every single year. When they dump and drop 15, 20, 20% a year, you think differently. And the other thing is the role of financial advisors. And this was one of the disconnects they found in the survey, is advisors telling their clients to be more conservative prior to retirement versus the pre-retirees pension for taking on more risk. And that's typically what you see at the end of the business cycle. So you don't want to find yourself getting more bullish and making more risky bets at a market top and becoming likewise in the opposite direction, overly bearish at a market bottom. And if you think about it, it deals with human emotions, both fear and greed. It is only natural to be greedy or lean more towards being overly aggressive when you've seen the market go up every single year, and likewise to be extremely fearful after you just went through a market downturn where the S&P lost close to 60% of its value. So those are some of the things that really stood out, John. And it's amazing because here we are, 9 years into this market recovery. It's the second longest bull market in history. It is now the second longest economic recovery in history. And if this extends into next year, at the beginning of next year, which is a possibility, it will be the longest bull market in recovery, economic recovery in history.
You know, looking backwards, we have to reckon the fact that we had two major bear markets in just one decade. But respondents said if they had to do it all over again, they'd be more aggressive.
You know, that's the one I found rather surprising, too. 58% of respondents said if they had to do it over again, they would stick with the same strategy they're currently using. 35% within both groups said if we had to redo it over again, we would actually get more aggressive. Only 8% of the respondents said, no, if we had to go back looking at the events that have happened, we'd probably be more conservative. Another part of the survey had to do with what would you do before you retired. Let's say you were only a year or two away from retirement. 17% said they would use a financial advisor. 9% said keep saving and saving as much as possible. 7% said they would be a little bit more conservative and reduce risk, which I find fascinating. You're a year or two away from retirement, and only 7% said they would reduce risk. At the same time, they said they were willing to take risk, but they would be really concerned if they experienced a bear market a year or two for retirement. So inconsistency there. 6% said they wish they would diversify more. 6% would know your own comfort level. In other words, what really is your ability to handle risk? 5% said they would vest earlier, and 5% said they would balance. So some inconsistencies there with this survey in terms of what investors are experiencing and what they're actually doing. And I think a lot of that has to do with what we've just gone through in 18 months, where every single month the stock market is up. And you got to remember, in March of 2009, the S&P got down to 666, and today we're over 2600 on the S&P, 2640 on the day we're doing this broadcast.
What would you think would explain people's willingness to take on more risk, especially if you look at the track record of the last decade, say we benchmark it at 2017 and everything we've been through?
You know, I think a lot of this has to do with two bear markets. One from 2000 to 2002, where the S&P lost over half its value. And more recently, the downturn between 2007 and 2009, when the S&P lost close to 60% of its value. So a lot of these individuals did not have as much as they thought they were going to have as they approached retirement. That's number one. And number two, they didn't save as much, because remember, in the late 80s and 90s, you didn't have to save. I mean, the markets went up double digits every single year. And we saw that reflected in the national savings rate that came down from 10%. That almost got down to zero. I think another factor for the willingness to take risk, and you can see this in the way people have invested in bond funds, is we have experienced, as a result of quantitative easing, the lowest interest rates in human recorded history. When Greenspan brought down interest rates after the bursting of the tech bubble, he brought them down to 1%. Bernanke brought them down to zero. So we're even today, where CD rates are only 0.5%, despite what, 6 rate hikes by the Fed. So you can see this right now in how they are invested, and especially where a lot of money's invested is in the bond market. Whether you're looking at junk bonds, you're looking at emerging market debt, and most people don't realize a lot of the investment grade bonds that have been issued over the last 2 years are triple B. So they're only one step above investment grade. And man, you fall into from investment grade to junk bond status, you can see a 5-10% drop in the value of the rating of the bond. So, and then another factor too is investors have no idea what a bond bear market looks like. It's been 37 years since we've seen the last bear market in bonds. And unlike stock bear markets in bonds last for decades. They're slow rolling. It's not something that happens very quickly. They're sort of like an escalator ride down instead of up. And one of the most valuable things that I think that, you know, we try to do, and this is why I think some of these people say, you know, you really should be talking to an advisor before you retire, because there's going to be a lot of big decisions you're going to have to make regarding Social Security, regarding when to retire, asset mixes, estate planning. There are a lot of things that go into this decision that really have to be thought out, because once you make the decision, you know, a lot of times some of those decisions are irreversible. And one of the things that we try to do is focus on risk. It's one of the things that we've invested in, you know, when we do these retirement plans, is we have to focus on risk. Because when you think about it, outside of Social Security, or maybe you have a pension coming from the company, you're going to rely on your assets, whatever you put aside for retirement. In what we have found, on a scale of 1 to 10, a lot of people that are very close to retirement come in, I would say the vast majority of them around 3, maybe 4 when it comes to a risk scale on a scale of 1 to 10. We look at their portfolio. They may be on a risk of 3. Their portfolio is 7 and 8. And a lot of that has to do with the way they started their program. And then also, nothing like a bull market when stocks go up every single year or almost every month like they did prior to this correction that began in January. And we had a client, and we'll just round these numbers off. In what the risk program does, it takes your own risk profile. Let's say it's 3. In other words, you're really concerned about capital preservation, preserving what you have, especially when you're getting ready to retire within a year or two. So you're a 3 on a risk scale. And then we look at your portfolio and it's 7 to 8. And you might think, well, okay, you know, the stocks are going up and, you know, I could handle that. Well, what this program does is it knows the assets you own. In other words, if you have a mutual fund, it knows its category, it knows its risk, it knows its beta, it knows all those things. What it does is it takes your category, takes a look at where market metrics are, and then categorizes what that risk means. So if you have a portfolio that's 7 or 8, meaning you're highly invested in the market, with this one particular client who recently came on board, and one of the reasons they came on board, they're getting ready to retire next year. And of course, the things and the events that have happened since the beginning of the year have kind of shaken up quite a few people. But what we did is their risk was 3 and their portfolio was 7. In other words, they were highly invested in the stock market. And what it pointed out, it didn't seem like much until we put it in terms of what the program did. It said your upside potential is another $100,000. In other words, the market at this point could go up maybe possibly another 10%. So your upside is $100,000. Your downside is $400,000. In other words, if we went into a bear market, you could lose 40% of your assets, especially when you're highly invested in the market. And that really hits home with most people. In other words, when you can quantify what's the upside versus what the downside is, then that gets people more prone to focus on risk, and especially if you're a year or a year or two away from retirement.
And maybe the whole thing, Jim, has to do with psychology, because generally when people tend to be more risk prone with their investments, it's because it's when something is good. You know, most bear markets don't start, and recessions don't start when everything looks bad. They slide down from a period where everything looks good, and that's where people are optimistic and they're willing to take those risks.
Yeah. And it's when everything is going well, like it is now. Unemployment is the lowest it's been in, what, 4 decades. Wages are going up. The stock market is up, you know, several 100% from 2009. But it's at this point, when things are going well, that the Fed begins to raise interest rates, as they're doing now. They've raised interest rates 6 times over a period of 4 years now. And if you think about what does that mean to you as an investor, well, when you think about since World War II, 11 out of the last 12 recessions and bear markets were preceded by a Fed rate raising cycle. So it's kind of like the Fed is telling you it's going to raise rates. You know what its track record is? 95% of the time they crash the airplane. So markets, if we look at where we are now, markets are elevated. PE ratios are very high, especially on the FANG stocks, which are getting clobbered right now. There is more leverage in the system today than there was in 2008. And markets are more interconnected today with computers and communication links. And number 4, as we saw in the correction after January 26th, is with all this algo trading and index funds, a lot of times these corrections can surface out of nowhere. They can be quick and fast and furious. And before you know it, in 5 or 6 days, the market's already down 10 or 12% before you even have a chance to react. So just as investors' concern are about another downturn, they should also be looking at the greatest risk if you are a pre-retiree is to experience a downturn or bear market right at the beginning of your retirement. Because if you lose 40%, it's going to take you close to 100% to break even. When you lost money in the bear market of 2000, 2002, you didn't recover until the year 2007. Then we went into another bear market in 2007, and we didn't recover fully until the year 2003. So what you don't want to do is go through a downturn where you lose half your assets, and it takes you another, let's say, 5 or 6 years to break even again. But only it's different now that you're retired, because you're not accumulating, you're actually pulling out and withdrawing assets. And think about this. Think about liquidating assets and living on them when the market's going down 20% a year. And I don't need to tell you how quickly you can diminish the size of your portfolio if you have to experience that. So as we're seeing right now, the recent volatility, a Fed rate hike cycle, investors really need to think about preserving capital at this late stage of the market. And the reason the insurance company did this survey is insurance companies typically are conservatively invested with their own portfolios. They have to match their liabilities with the way they invest. And then secondly, you know, most insurance companies sell conservative investments, mainly annuities, variable annuities, immediate annuities, indexed annuities. And the insurance company was rather surprised, and they wanted to know, why aren't investors investing more conservative, either before they were retired or after they're retired? And so that was the purpose of this survey. And what it really points out to is investors are taking a lot more risk than they realize with their own portfolios, which is very typical at the end of a bull market cycle. Same thing if you think back of what was occurring in the tech bubble, where everybody thought they were just, you know, you didn't have to save. The markets would go up 15% a year and you would end up wealthy and retire, you know, in Beverly Hills or in the Hamptons, because the markets would basically do it for you.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, Mike Robinson is Jim's guest. Annuities is the subject, everything you wanted to know. And coming up next right here is our real-life case study, which illustrates the subject of conversation today as it's practically applied. This is a hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. And of course, names and circumstances have been changed, and you can always find slides online at financialsense.com to illustrate those points that are being made here. All right, Jim?
This week, we're going to talk about Ben and Barbara McDowell. Both of them are age 63. They want to retire within 1 to 2 years. Life expectancy is pretty high for both of them, 90 for Ben and 93. Their risk tolerance, as many people a couple of years away from retirement, was moderate. And their objective is income with capital preservation. A little background on Ben, regional sales manager. He has been with the same company for over 20 years. He travels 1 to 2 weeks a month for business. The pay is excellent, but he feels like he wants to begin a new chapter in his life. He has been contributing to the company's stock purchase plan for years. He has accumulated a large concentrated position in his employer's stock. He has always invested heavily in precious metals, since that is how his father taught him to invest. He's also concerned about how much he has invested now that he's coming close to basically being on the road and in airports a couple weeks out of the month is starting to wear. Barbara was a homemaker. She is anxious at the prospect of her husband retiring, since they can travel, spend more time with the family and grandkids. She is concerned about the cost of retirement, given her husband's family health history of longevity, including her own. And she hopes they can maintain their current lifestyle as long as possible, and she wants to remain independent. And on both sides, both their parents ended up in retirement homes, and so they know what the cost of that is. Barbara is a little bit more conservative than her husband, who tends to be a concentrated investor in terms of his company's own stock, which he's heavily invested in, and also in precious metals, which Barbara strongly disagreed on. I mean, it was great when they were going up like they were in the last decade. It hasn't been that great of investment since 2011. Here's what was important to both of them. Not outliving their assets, given their parents' longevity and their good health, managing those medical costs throughout retirement, having predictable income. And this came more so from Barbara, which was reducing the risk in the portfolio. Basically, the difficulty here between both of them, Barbara was way more conservative than Ben was. And, you know, especially when she saw what happened to their precious metals holdings over the last 4 years, basically a high concentration that went nowhere. And then also the fact that a lot of their eggs were in one basket. Looking at their budget, essential budget was close to $100,000. And you know, when we read these figures, sometimes we get comments from listeners and they say $100,000, $150,000. Folks, you live in California. We had a client that was making $140,000 in Los Angeles, and $140,000 in Los Angeles in California, where the houses are close to $1 million. You have state income taxes that are as high as 13%. Property taxes could be as high as 2%. Sales taxes that are as high as 9%. You know, back out 9.3% state tax, back out 25 to 28% federal tax, 7.65 Social Security tax, all the other taxes you pay, $140,000, believe it or not, doesn't go a long way. But their essential budget was $95,000, $31,000 for discretionary, roughly about $125,000. Ben's salary, including bonuses, was about $165,000. So clearly they had a surplus of about $39,000. They thought if they retired, they could reduce that essential budget from 95 down to 78, discretionary from 31 down to 22. So basically, they would reduce their spending by $25,000 a year. Social Security for both of them would be $42,000. Ben's company pension plan would be about $29,000, leaving them short just almost $30,000. Their primary residence was $330,000. They had a rental property worth about $175,000. Ben's retirement assets with the company, mainly in company stock, $850,000. Barbara's retirement IRA was worth about $90,000. The company stock was worth about $250,000, and various interest things that he had, limited partnerships, were worth about $96,000. Essentially, Ben was a year away from retirement. But there was a big discrepancy between risk-taking and concentration. I mean, a lot of Ben's assets were concentrated in the stock market with index funds, almost $250,000 in the company stock, and a lot of money in precious metals. The precious metals account was worth probably about $75,000. At one time, that was worth over $300,000. So that was mainly Barbara's objection to the concentration. So we had roughly about $1.3 million in investable assets, total investments or assets about $1.8 million, net worth about $1.7 million. Some of the challenges that we had were reducing risk, having predictable income in retirement, not outliving those assets given their longevity, and managing those medical expenses, especially down the road, where both of them could live long enough to end up either one of them in, let's say, a retirement home, like did their parents. So looking at Ben's pension and everything else, total income from investments, we put together a balanced portfolio. We said we got to start reducing risk, especially since you're a year away from retirement. And that included company stock. So a balanced account between bonds and stocks, and we were using short-term stocks with interest rate floaters, given that we're in a rising interest rate environment. And this is the one thing I had to emphasize to Ben and say, Ben, the Fed's raising interest rates, and you know what happens when they do that? Just think back of 2007 and 9 and what happened in 2000. So total income would come in around $108,000, less a budget of $100,000. They would have a surplus of about $8,000. And their portfolio had a score of almost 8, and their risk was a little over 5. And really, the reason it was 5 is the program uses the risk tolerance for both spouses. Because if we take a look at Barbara is probably closer to 2 and 3, and Ben was probably closer to 6 or 7, which is where his portfolio was invested. We proposed reducing that level down to about 4, especially since he was only a year away from retirement. And basically, he did want to retire because being on the road several weeks out of the month was starting to wear on him. Here's what we did. We basically, on the risk programs, we analyzed and said, look, we need to tone the risk level down. And that's going to involve two things: reducing the amount that you've invested in the market. Number two, the high concentration of company stock. And number three, high concentration of precious metals. because we said, hey, this is a great hedge if the world comes to an end or we get in an inflationary environment or something like that. But it's not going to produce the income that you're going to need, and especially since we only had about an $8,000 surplus. We recommended that they invest primarily in blue chip type stocks and a laddered bond portfolio with interest rate floaters, given the fact that we were in a rate raising environment. We advised them to take Social Security at full retirement age. In other words, he would retire before he would be full Social Security retirement age, so we would be relying more on some of those assets. In order to maximize retirement income, we had them delay retirement till age 66. So we said, we're going to have to stretch out when you want to retire a few more years, because we just simply don't have the assets unless we were going to have to go through principal. This was effective because it increases how much Barbara would receive as a widow when Ben passes. And by waiting to age 66, it also increased Ben's pension amount. In other words, he would end up having more assets because the company had matching contributions on the first 6% of his salary. So by lowering the risk of the portfolio and delaying retirement, we were able to reduce the potential negative impact of low returns at the beginning of the retirement and reduce substantially the risk, especially since they were only a couple of years. You know, he thought he was going to retire a year away from retirement. We said, you know what? We're going to have to go through principal or draw down on assets because we simply don't have enough assets to produce unless you could come up with some substantial savings in your living expenses. We just simply can't do it. So the idea was to wait a few more years to full retirement age at age 66.
And again, tomorrow on the program, Mike Robinson is Jim's guest. Annuities, everything you wanted to know. Maybe some things you never did want to know, too.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the good and bad of these annuities, because they have had a bad rap. There are cases where annuities are appropriate, and you have to know the kind of annuities that would be appropriate, what you need to look at if you're considering annuities. And quite honestly, sometimes they're probably the best solution for many of you that do not have the assets to live comfortably in the way you would like to when you retire. And it used to be, John, and you still find this with some companies, where you have, let's say, a retirement program. You can either take it out in a lump sum, roll it over, and then you're responsible for your own retirement income. Some companies have what is called an annuity option, saying, look, we can give you a lump sum. Here's what that would be. Or you could take it in the form of a monthly pension. And that monthly pension would be income to you and then to your, let's say, surviving spouse. And some of these companies were actually have annuity options that are better off than you rolling over your existing assets. And you usually see this with the larger Fortune 500 type companies. We had a individual that was with a large company, and he had both options. He could take the money for his retirement and just roll it over to an IRA and he was on his own, or he could take the annuity option. And when we looked at the annuity option, we couldn't match that annuity option with investment returns. Now, here's the shortcoming. The shortcoming is, by taking the annuity option from the company, that particular individual would get that income the rest of his life. Didn't matter if he lived to be 90, 95, he would never run the risk of outliving his assets, nor would his wife. But like any pension option, whether you work for the government, the state of California, or a state, you know you get your pension, but when you both die, your kids don't get an inheritance. And that was the maybe only shortcoming, but they chose to get the annuity option because it provided substantially more income, and they didn't have to worry about outliving their assets if they lived to be in their 90s. So we're going to cover that tomorrow on the program, and hope you'll be there to listen. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we would like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.